for your guts. It's Superhuman Radio, dishing out wisdom for your body and mind. This is Superhuman Radio.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the studio gym where excuses never apply,
it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to another episode of Superhuman Radio. This is Casual Friday. I'm in the studio with the lovely and talented Lisa Profumo. How you doing, Lisa?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, really. I like Fridays.
I like Fridays, too.
Yeah.
TGIF.
Yeah, thank God it's Friday.
So,
guess what? Next week we're off the air. Why? Because it's Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving. I love Thanksgiving. I'm looking at a picture right now on the History Channel of a turkey and cranberries and mashed potatoes, and it looks really yummy.
Yeah, we're ready for it.
We're going to pick up our turkey from our farmer tonight.
Yeah.
The turkey was just alive, I think, earlier this week.
Yeah. Yeah, they process them the same week.
Mm-hmm.
And they feed, one year they fed the turkeys pumpkin that was left over from their harvest. And the turkey meat had an orange color to it.
Well, that? It was a faint orange.
Kind of like what Purdue does with their chickens. Purdue puts marigold leaves in their chicken feed. And that's why their chicken has that beautiful golden color as opposed to Tyson's, which looks faded out and, you know.
Right.
And what the chickens eat, what the turkeys eat gets into their flesh. And that's why we say, you know, when they feed these animals corn and grain, you may be avoiding corn and grain in your diet, but if you're eating animal flesh that has been fed corn and grain, you're getting a lot of the same things you're trying to avoid in the animal flesh.
Interestingly, the show that we did this week, or that you did, I scheduled it this week, about high heat cooking.
Yeah.
And how... Is it just the fat or the meat?
So meat. So when you cook chicken at a high heat, it actually produces
trans fats.
Trans fats, and if you cook it a second time, there's even more trans fats. They even checked this in with oil too. They took oil, vegetable oil, that had zero trans fats in it, and they raised it to the frying temperature, and then they tested it. And I don't remember exactly, but let's say for every 100 grams of oil, that one high heat session caused accumulation of 1.3 grams of trans fats. Then when they reheated the oil a second time, it produced a total of 3 grams of trans fat. So think about the fryolators in lots of fast food restaurants where they use the same oil for 3 or 4 days.
And also, a lot of people here in the United States use deep fryers for their turkeys at Thanksgiving. And it's like really hot oil that they immerse the entire bird in.
Yeah.
And they cook it like that. And it doesn't take very long.
No. And that high. And see, when you fry something, not saute, we're not talking about sauteing here. When you fry something, when you put enough oil that you can immerse some portion or all of the food you're cooking into that oil, it allows you to cook that meat or even vegetables at a much higher temperature than had you used an oven or a frying pan or in some cases even a barbecue grill. So what we discovered in that interview was that Indian people who are predominantly vegetarians have a much higher rate of heart disease than Asian people who live in the same areas of the country. And they think, how can that be? Well, what they found out was that Indian cooking is traditionally very high heat. Tandoori ovens, very high heat.
You're they talking about fry. India, not
yeah,
Native
not,
Americans.
Not a, I would, yeah, I would have said
not Native, Native Americans.
No. Yeah. And so, and thank you for clarifying that. So, And the scientist that we had on, while he lives in Scotland, he's actually Pakistani.
And he's at the University of Edinburgh.
Yeah, and he said, you know, we have a traditional Indian dessert, which is basically sugar and butter deep fried. And when they looked at that and looked for these components that are linked to atherosclerosis and heart disease, like that single dessert is like a heart attack. It's like, that's it.
And so to clarify, it's not just chicken, though. It's beef or any kind of
anything,
meat.
Anything you – look, even vegetables. Anything you cook. So he talked about how they high-heat cook vegetables in traditional Indian cooking, and the same vegetables they use in Asian cooking, they just sauté it. And they looked at the development – what was that? Okay. They looked at the development of trans fats, and they looked at the development of other things that are linked to an index of increasing atherosclerosis and heart disease. And they said even the vegetables cooked at high heat become harmful.
Become trans fats.
So it's and it's not just trans fats. There are other things that they looked at. They called them NCFs, I believe. But high heat cooking in general. And so I asked him about where's the magic temperature. He said 140 degrees Fahrenheit. No, I'm sorry. He said 140 degrees Celsius, which is about 300 degrees Fahrenheit.
So we figured we need to cook our turkey longer at 300, bake it at 300 for a longer period of time so that it doesn't reach that high of heat.
Yes. That's the magic. But you got to plan on
Five, six hours, depending on how big of a bird you cook, it's going to take a long time. I can remember as a child, my mother used to get up at midnight to put the bird in the oven and to let it cook for 7 hours.
Yeah.
And so she was doing that instinctively, cooking at a lower temperature to mm-hmm. keep the bird moist.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'll tell you something else that keeps the bird moist that I discovered on my own. And people are going to hear this and no one will be willing to try it. Take the skin off. When you baste it, the liquid actually gets into the meat. When you cook with the skin on, the basting doesn't do anything. It just gets to the skin. The skin is good at keeping.
Well, how about if you use the little injector
and
inject
that
inside the bird?
And that's what I do, and that's why my turkeys always come out so nice and moist, because I actually inject the broth that's developing in the bottom of the pan back into all the areas of the bird.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's what you have to do.
Just real quick too, I just want to mention this, and probably not many people in our audience drink champagne, but during the holidays, some people might splurge a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I went to the store the other day because I wanted to get a gift for someone of champagne. And there was a guy there that taught me a lot. He told, because, you know, we want organic grapes because they use so many pesticides in the California areas of the U.S.
Yeah.
But he told me that in France, every grape is
organic.
They're not, it's all organic. They're not allowed to spray pesticides
never,
in France. And they've never sprayed pesticides on their grapes in the Champagne region of France. And
the Bordeaux region,
the Bordeaux,
all
the
wines,
all the French wines have never been exposed to pesticides.
Ever. So that means there's no
and
accumulation.
It's biodynamic.
There's no accumulation
of pesticides in the soils. It's against the law there to use pesticides on their grapes and, you know, sparkling wine. That we don't have champagne in the U.S. You only get champagne from the Champagne region of France, but if anyone does want to splurge during the holidays, go with the French, and I think Italian also is the same.
That's what he said. The French and Italian wines, you told me when he came with French and Italian wines, they've never used pesticides. They can't use pesticides. So if you are really looking for organic wine, just buy wine from France and Italy, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. It's a little more expensive, but it's worth it.
And we actually buy a organic wine that comes out of Napa Valley. But let's be honest, we're learning now about cross-contamination. We know that just because they're not spraying on that crop doesn't mean the crop up the way that's being sprayed isn't having an effect on that crop. We're going to talk more about that later.
Yeah, I was going to say we'll talk more about glyphosate later.
Yeah. I want to play – I have a history of
Thanksgiving. It's pretty interesting. It's only a couple – it's like two and a half – two – minutes long.
Yeah, let's play it. Yeah, right. Go.
We're all familiar with the story of the first Thanksgiving when the pilgrims invited local Native Americans to share a meal with them. But we bet you didn't know Thanksgiving didn't become an annual tradition until more than 200 years later. That first Thanksgiving in 1621 wasn't just one big meal. It was a three-day festival of eating, hunting, and other entertainments in honor of the pilgrims' first successful harvest. The Indians killed five deer as gifts for the colonists. So venison was definitely on the first Thanksgiving menu. But we bet you didn't know that turkey was not. They also didn't have pumpkin pie or potatoes, which hadn't been introduced to New England yet. And while they may have eaten cranberries, they would have been served plain, not in a sauce or relish. The pilgrims didn't plan on starting a Thanksgiving tradition. In fact, they didn't repeat the November celebration in subsequent years. In 1789, President George Washington announced the first ever national Thanksgiving holiday, which took place on Thursday, November 26th. But it didn't become an annual tradition nationwide until the 19th century. That's when an American writer named Sarah Josepha Hale, most famous for writing the nursery rhyme Mary Had a Little Lamb, was inspired by a diary of pilgrim life to recreate that first Thanksgiving feast. Beginning in 1827, Hale waged a nearly 30-year campaign to make Thanksgiving a national holiday. She also published recipes for pumpkin pie, turkey, and stuffing that probably didn't appear on the pilgrims' plates, but would become the staples of modern Thanksgiving meals. In 1863, in the midst of the Civil War, President Abraham Lincoln announced that the nation would celebrate Thanksgiving every year on the final Thursday in November. But did you know, in 1939, President Franklin D. Roosevelt decided to move the holiday up a week to give Depression-era retailers more time to make money during the pre-Christmas shopping season? The move was widely criticized, and in 1941, FDR signed a bill fixing Thanksgiving on the fourth Thursday in November, where it stays today. One of the quirkiest Thanksgiving traditions began in 1989, when President George H.W. Bush granted the first official pardon to a turkey. Every November since then, the current Oval Office occupant has given a reprieve to one or two turkeys, sending them into retirement on a farm rather than to a dinner table. Though it only began in the late 20th century, the story has become one of the more unusual chapters in the long history of Thanksgiving traditions.
I gotta tell you, that is so cool.
That was pretty good.
You know, I didn't really pay attention to it the first time.
When I played it at home?
Yeah, we shouldn't even call it Thanksgiving. We should call it Frances Josiah Hale Day. You know, because she's the one who decided, I think I'll recreate that first dinner.
With all the different turkey and stuffing.
And then she spent 30 years making it a national holiday. Like, nobody even knows. When we sit down to Thanksgiving, we should also thank her, because we wouldn't be sitting down to Thanksgiving if it wasn't for a 30-year effort.
Yeah, they didn't even have turkey in 1621 at the first
Thanksgiving.
They had lobster, seal, venison, and swans.
Look, venison and lobster, I'm down with. I'd rather have that for Thanksgiving than turkey. Turkey's kind
of boring.
You
don't like turkey.
I know, it's boring.
Well, I like turkey.
Alex loves turkey. Alex. So Alex Leap will probably eat an entire turkey himself this Thanksgiving.
He eats a pound of meat, he said.
Oh, more than that.
Oh, does he?
Yeah, it's like, I mean, it's something ridiculous. I don't want to say it because I'll be off, but he eats like 6 pounds of turkey every Thanksgiving or something like that. Some absurd amount.
Okay, so some new research just came out from the University of Michigan that exercise counteracts a week of overeating. So people definitely overeat during the holidays. Make sure you get your exercise. But they conducted a study to find out what would happen to the fatty tissue of people who continued to exercise for 1 week. The study consisted of participants between the ages of 21 to 26. The theory of the study was based on the hypothesis that 1 week of aerobic exercise during 1 week of overeating would counteract the effect that overeating has on the metabolic system.
Wow.
And what they found, in fact, was that glucose testing was done, and they looked for markers that would measure fatty tissue, inflammation, or circulating C-reactive proteins. And they concluded that the their early findings support the protective role exercise has on metabolic response.
That's really interesting.
So get out and exercise if you're overeating during the holidays. We're actually going to do the turkey trot that day.
And Rick and Ryan Pack will be here.
They're going to be in Louisville, so
I can't run it. So I'm going to just walk it because I actually am still suffering from a crush injury to my left foot that's really caused me a lot of problems.
That was from when you were going to Quest
back in the day. Yeah, back, I mean the one of the earlier times when I went there. So it's been quite a while that I've been suffering with this, but it gets better, it gets worse. I just can't run right now, but I can walk, no problem. So I'm going to walk with Rick Pack's mom, I think, or Ryan's.
I think it's Rick's mom.
Yeah. Yeah. And then my friend Chris Hill, who is a pilot for UPS.
Yeah, and his wife is a great runner, so she's going to run the 10K. I think that we're going to do the 5K, and I'll probably run the 5K.
Yeah, show off. Show off. We have to take a break. When we come back, we get lots of good stories. This is going to be a really good Casual Friday. Stay tuned. We shall return.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advance contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advance. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advance banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% 20% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your questions. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach, lead.
Move over, superheroes. This is the Superhuman Channel.
It was summertime in northern Michigan. Welcome back. So, I posted this on Facebook this morning and got a lot of interaction and reactions. And I thought it was worthy of a discussion, too.
Okay.
First of all, frame this in the fact that next week, the third Saturday in this month, is this the third? Is tomorrow the third Saturday in this month or the second? Hold on a second before I go off in the wrong direction. The third Saturday of this month marks today is the third. Tomorrow is the third Saturday of this month. Tomorrow marks the 11-year anniversary of this show.
Oh, wow. Happy anniversary.
Thank you. I went on the air on the third Saturday of November in 2005 for the very first time. So tomorrow marks the 11th year anniversary for Superhuman Radio.
So you basically have been going to school for 11 years.
Yes. You know, and that's what I say to people. Like, a lot of times people say to me, God, you know so much about this, you know so much about that. It's not that I'm smart. It's that I have literally been lectured by some of those most brilliant minds in science about emerging science for 11 years now. I get to ask them questions like a university student. I read their research. I absorb it. I connect dots for things that I've talked about in the past, like yesterday's show. It was really a great show. You got to listen to yesterday's show, by the way. And we'll talk about that later.
When fat changes color.
And the one on breast cancer, yes.
And the one on breast cancer.
I mean, it's like I connect dots now that have nothing to do with the topics. And the interviewee always goes, wow, that's really interesting. Like, you know, that might be our next study, or that makes a lot of sense, or I never thought about that. Because I have the luxury of being at 30,000 feet while they're at 10,000 feet. So I can look down at what they're doing and what someone else did, and go, wow, you guys have some interesting overlaps here. So tomorrow marks the 11th year of being on the air. And the reason that's important in this discussion is because 6 years ago, we were at Ruth Chris Steakhouse at a good friend of ours' birthday.
Eating meat that was cooked in high heat.
Yes. And drinking wine, quite frankly, too. And so we were at this gathering, a small gathering, small intimate gathering for a friend's birthday. And one of the couples that was there was a neurosurgeon and his wife. And they're very nice people. So I was sitting literally directly across from him. No, actually, I was a round table. I was sitting closest to him, but across, so to speak. And so I thought I'd strike up a conversation. I says, hey, have you seen the emerging research on...
Now, this was 6 years ago.
Yeah. I said, have you seen the emerging research on the linkage between insulin resistance of the brain and the onset of Alzheimer's disease? They think that are now calling it type 3 diabetes, that it's the brain that becomes insulin resistant, and this is what causes Alzheimer's disease. And he looked at me, and he said in a very dismissive, really quite insulting way, he looked at me and he said, it's not that simple. And then he just turned to his wife and said, you know, did you take the kids to soccer today? You know, like, who is this idiot? You know, me being the idiot. Who is this idiot who would suggest, you know, such a thing? I'm a neurosurgeon. Does he not know I've gone to school for a decade to acquire the information and knowledge I have, and now he's just some guy at the dinner table is going to tell me about the nature of the onset of Alzheimer's disease, and that's really how he came off. I mean, I don't think that he, if he was honest and he was here, he would say anything different. Yeah, I thought you were a schmuck for saying that, you know? Like, what do you know? So, Elisa sends me a study this morning, and now keep in mind, there's been research all along coming out pointing at this, and I can give you the exact link, by the way, because I have that 30,000-foot view. I actually did this morning. Somebody was asking me, why? The study released November 9th says Alzheimer's disease found to be a diabetic disorder of the brain. Could you imagine that I was correct? And so, I posted on Facebook that this is what's wrong with the medical orthodoxy. Not all doctors are like this. There's a lot of open-minded doctors today. Quite frankly, but doctor,
a lot of them listen to the show.
I know. Tom Phillips. Tom Phillips says, not all of us are pompous asses, Carl. That's why we follow you. You know, follow the show. And I thought that was very sweet of him to say. But the reality is that more and more doctors are not unwilling to listen to their patients, because quite often a patient will walk into that room armed, thanks to the internet and fantastic databases like the National Institutes of Health on research. They'll walk into that room with more information about emerging science related to their condition than that doctor has available to him. And quite often, they will be more up to date on emerging therapies than the doctor. So if the doctor dismisses them, A, he's a pompous ass. B, he's losing out on an opportunity to actually do his job better by learning something new. You can learn from anybody. It's not just people who spent 10 years laboring in school that you can learn from. So, and I get it. You know, doctors have to maintain that position that they ultimately know what's best. But the truth is they don't. They're just people. They're just like everybody else. We don't grow humans that are just going to be doctors because they're bred to be able to make good decisions. Doctors are like mechanics. There's good ones and there's bad ones.
And then what about the part that the brain does produce?
So this is interesting.
Insulin.
So George Tuliatos, another brilliant doctor, right, from Greece, been on the show. He said something like, do you think you can test for this using HbA1c? And I said, unfortunately, at this point in time, it looks like we cannot test for insulin resistance of the brain. We have to go by symptoms because the blood-brain barrier is very, very good at keeping what happens to the brain a mystery from the rest of the body. So in other words, blood sugar levels could be A, but the blood sugar levels in the brain could be B, because the blood-brain barrier and the brain, they are their own universe. They're insular from everything else. And this has been shown because when we discovered that the brain produces its own insulin. So we were at a family gathering in Illinois. Was it last year or the year before?
It was the year before.
2 years ago. And I said at a group that we were talking about science, I said, well, you know, the brain produces its own insulin. And a relative of Elise's that shall remain unnamed is like a geneticist, and she works with
pigs. She has a PhD in some kind of genetic.
And she scoffed. She looked at me and said, that's absurd. The brain doesn't produce its own insulin. I said, no, it does. It's been shown in science. Oh, that's ridiculous. What science are you reading? And she, you know, laughed at PubMed and all this sort of stuff. So I actually sent her the studies that show that she never responded. But once again, the danger today is not that science is evolving at such a rapid rate. It's the resistance of those who have to make decisions based on science to resist anything that they quote unquote don't know about already and dismiss it as nonsense. This is in my humble opinion, today's good doctor is not equipped with the background that they teach in school, but understands that what they knew yesterday is obsolete today.
Someone posted on here, Mark Atherton, there was a time when drilling skulls and bloodletting were considered cutting edge.
Yeah.
We never know all the answers and need to keep learning and progressing. And if you watch anything from like during King Henry, they used to use mercury
to cure people.
To cure people. Yeah. And you know, things change.
100 years from now, science will look back at the things we do today and as being barbaric. They'll look back at the drugs that pharmaceutical companies are convincing people to take, and they'll look at it and think, my God, they were poisoning people. 100 years from now, I guarantee it. I hope somebody finds this show 100 years from now and goes, oh my God, this guy was so right. Every generation, we think we have it. And then when they look back at us, they go, my God, they were so far off. It was ridiculous.
Did you see, which we'll talk about later, that opioid use is now higher than tobacco use?
Oh, and why wouldn't it be? Doctors prescribe opioids for everything. People come in and look, pain is subjective. And if you're not sleeping well, your perception of pain is higher. If you have gut issues and stuff is leaking into your bloodstream, you're developing fibromyalgia, you have pain. What do doctors do? Do they fix the problem? They go, let's see why your perception of pain is so high without evidence of a frank injury, like you in a car accident and was shattered. Without evidence of a frank injury, do they say, well, let's discover why your perception of pain is? No, they delve out the opioids. And this is why I happen to know for a fact, I can't talk about it yet, but there's a group right now in Washington, D.C., interviewing politicians about Kratom.
Really?
Yeah. The guy who's doing this has produced another movie, very, very eye-opening movie. Because, you know, Kratom poses a huge threat to the opioid industry. Opioids are billions of dollars, OxyContin and drugs like that. And guess what? In states where medical marijuana is legal, opioid use goes down by 80 and 90% because people just take a puff of a joint. Ah, man, the pain's gone and I feel good. And I don't have constipation, and I can still drive my car, and I can still work. CBD oil is competing with opioids. Opioids are big business. They don't want that to go away. The companies that manufacture opioids don't want people to stop taking them. They don't want doctors to stop prescribing them.
Just back to Alzheimer's for just a second. Yeah. I read a study yesterday about radiation in Alzheimer's. And while I don't have the study open in front of me, it was at worldhealth.net.
Right.
They're talking about radiation from x-rays, radiation from microwaves, radiation from airplanes, and it's causing Alzheimer's also.
Because why? Because it causes advanced oxidative stress. So,
glutathione, you said.
Yes, taking glutathione is a good thing, or increasing glutathione production by whey protein, exercise. Yeah, N-acetylcysteine, or taking a liposomal glutathione. I take 2 packs a day, every single day. So, 2 things I want to address. Number one, radiation causes hyperoxidization of cells. It causes cells to become senescent faster and causes telomeres to shorten, which is advanced aging. And Alzheimer's, dementia is one of the byproducts of advanced aging of the brain, number one. Because advanced aging of the brain also can lead to insulin resistance of the brain. So here's the mechanism. So people are like, well, how does insulin resistance of the brain causes Alzheimer's disease? I thought it was beta amyloid plaque. Beta amyloid plaque is a symptom of insulin resistance of the brain. You say, how could that be, Carl? I'll explain. We know, and this is my ability at the 30,000 foot looking down at all the different researchers that I've spoken to. We know endoplasmic reticulum, when it's stressed, misfolds protein, and those proteins become metabolic debris. One of those is the overproduction of amyloid, beta amyloid, which is a protein that the brain is supposed to produce. But when the cells are stressed, the endoplasmic reticulum, for some reason, produces a lot of it, and it misfolds it, has no other purpose but getting caught in places it shouldn't be. So guess what causes the endoplasmic reticulum stress? Hypoglycemia. What's hypoglycemia? Glucose not being able to get into the cell. If you have insulin resistance of the brain, your cells are being forced to operate, and you're not producing ketones or taking a ketone supplement. Your brain cells are being forced to operate on very low amounts of fuel. The endoplasmic reticulum is being stressed. It is spitting out gobs and gobs of misfolded proteins. Those misfolded proteins are going around in the brain, and they're looking someplace to park, and they are parking and building a plaque that is then causing a stenosis effect on blood flow to the brain, and it's making the problem worse because now blood can't even get in to deliver what little of glucose the brain is able to take up, and it gets worse and worse and worse and worse. So it makes perfect sense to me on how insulin resistance of the brain can lead to these plaques. The plaques are not causing the Alzheimer's disease. They are a secondary byproduct, just like dementia. Dementia is an inability for the brain to process and find data. It's like somebody took your hard drive and scrambled it. You can't find the file that you used to have anymore. And that's why when those people who have insulin resistance of the brain are put on a ketone supplement or reach ketosis through a therapeutic ketogenic diet, their brain starts functioning again because guess what? Ketones can now run the cells, and the cells can do what they want to do. They can find data now. So it's very simple to understand why this is. But I will never forget that surgeon. I'll never forget him because it was insulting to me the way he said that. And then he just turned his head and started talking like, this guy is just an idiot. And guess what? 6 years later, I wonder if he sees this and goes, wow, I can't believe that idiot at Ruth Chris Steakhouse 6 years ago was right. And I said in the post, or maybe he's already developed insulin resistance of his brain and he can't access that information any longer either.
And I just want to address the radiation issue real quick. Because last week we talked about thermograms from a woman's perspective.
Right.
Thermograms versus mammograms and how the radiation is directly pointed toward your heart. So, you know, if you can cut the radiation exposure, I would do that. I would get the thermogram instead of the mammogram. I would, you know, take your glutathione before you go on your airplane rides.
Yeah.
People who are pilots need to start using glutathione. We talked about, because we have several friends who are pilots.
Right, right. Yeah, so, radiation causes advanced oxidative stress.
Step away from your microwave when you're using your microwave.
I would love to get a spectrum analyzer and see if there is any leakage from our microwave at home, just as an experiment, just for my own personal edification. I'd love to see that. We have to take a break. We've got lots more to talk about. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenadrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenadrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenadrex, the world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn, teach,
leave.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powdered form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
Hey, this is Carl. Start your day just like I do with a high-dose lipospheric vitamin C from Livon Labs. You too can benefit from Livon Labs' lipospheric delivery system. No more pills or powders. That's outdated technology. Livon Labs has the world's most efficient vitamin delivery system, period. Learn a lot more today at LiveOnLabs.com and benefit from their new reduced pricing. That's LiveOnLabs.com, L-I-V-O-N, Labs.com.
Superhuman Radio has the smartest and most dedicated health and fitness listeners found anywhere in the world. If you're trying to tap this market of greater than 50 million health fitness consumers, you simply can't do better than advertising on Superhuman Radio. Our sponsors tell us Superhuman Radio outperforms other forms of advertising time and time again. If you're tired of wasting valuable advertising dollars and need a new way to build your client base, go to SuperhumanRadio.com and click on the Advertise with Us link. It just may be the best thing you have ever done for your business.
Spit that out right now. This is the Superhuman Channel.
Okay, was geht ab? Guten Morgen, es ist 7:30 hier auf We Got Soul FM.
What did he say? I think it's French. Welcome back. All right, what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about it. There is some research that was just published in Diabetes Care from the world-renowned professor Roy Taylor, who I'd like to get on the show.
Yeah, we got to get him on the show. We have to.
He's a professor of medicine and metabolism at Newcastle University. He's done a couple studies. The first one was in 2011, showed that diabetes could be reversed on a very low-calorie diet. And the calorie count was between 600 and 700 calories a day.
And remember, intermittent fasting is qualified as eating less than 600 calories a day, by the way. So, you know, you can, Adele Moussa has written extensively about this. You don't have to avoid all food. If you're under 600 calories, the same effects that you see in fasting happen.
Well, that's like the, well, that's, I guess, the premise behind the every other day diet.
Yeah.
Where you eat 500-600 calories a day and that's it for every other day.
Or even caloric zigzagging, right?
Same caloric thing. Zigzagging. Yeah. I like the caloric zigzagging. Yeah. I tend to like that. In the first study, there were only 30 volunteers. And the participants lost an average of 14 kilograms, just over 2 stone.
Right.
And what is a stone equal to in a pound? Do you know?
Depends on how big the stone is. I don't know. Those, you know what? I'm just really just starting to get kilograms and pounds worked out. I'm not ready to start using stones. to my friends over in the UK and Ireland and Scotland, if you want to educate me on how to do a mental calculation
conversion
of a stone, I'd really appreciate it.
Yes, I need that too. And they over the next 6 months, they didn't gain any weight, any of the weight. They became diabetes free. 12 patients who had diabetes for less than 10 years reversed their condition, and 6 months later they remained diabetes free.
Now keep in mind that there are literally there is a huge number of people out there, like this registered dietitian who works, I believe, with the American Diabetic Association, Hope Warshaw. She's a registered dietitian that writes books, I believe, for diabetics. And she thinks that diabetics should continue to eat carbohydrates. You know, they deserve to eat carbs too, she says.
That's ridiculous.
I'm telling people that you can't reverse type 2 diabetes, that you can't. There are so many people out there who think you cannot reverse type 2 diabetes.
That it's a lifelong sentence.
Yeah, it's a condition. It's not a disease. It's a condition. It's kind of like the condition of if you wear shoes that are too tight, they hurt your feet. You get new shoes, they don't hurt your feet. So
he did another study with more participants, and I apologize, I don't have that number of how many he had in the second study that he has done. But in this study, the participants had type 2 diabetes between 6 months and 23 years. They showed that type 2 diabetes could be reversed even in people who had the condition for 10 years.
Yeah, of course. Now, you know, if you go too long with type 2 diabetes, your pancreas will fail. There's no hope. As long as your pancreas is functioning but just overworked, you can get rid of your type 2 diabetes.
The larger trial involving 280 people is the larger trial. So the diet consists of 3 diet shakes per day and 240 grams of non-starchy vegetables.
Okay.
They were taken in between 600 and 700 kcals a day for 8 weeks.
So let's talk about where the magic is in this. The shakes are most likely high protein, okay?
Low carb.
Low carb. No starchy carbs. No sugar, no starch. What's 240 grams of broccoli? I mean, let's just see what that is. How many carbs in 240 grams of broccoli? Let's just see what comes up. So there's 17 grams of carbohydrates in 240 grams of broccoli. 17 flipping grams of carbohydrates. 17. That's not, I mean, that's a lot of broccoli to eat to get 17 grams of. This is obviously an ultra low carbohydrate diet. It's not just ultra low calorie.
The volunteers gradually returned to eating normal food over the next 2 weeks. Remember, they were doing that for 8 weeks. Mm-hmm. Then they returned to normal eating for 2 weeks with careful instruction on how much to eat.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were seen once a month and were given an individualized weight maintenance program for 6 months to keep their weight steady after the weight loss. They were eating around one-third less before the study. Than before the study.
They were eating one-third less. So they actually just went back to a diet of two-thirds of what they normally ate before the study.
Yes,
which
that's
is still
correct.
A lot. It's still plenty of food.
Right. So diabetes is reversible.
Completely. And that's the problem today. We're giving people metformin and Juneva and Pravasa and Laguna and Lagatuda, all these drugs to keep their blood sugar down. They just not need to stop eating starchy and sugary carbohydrates. And I go back to people like Hope Warshaw. I created a meme because I quoted her. She said, people with diabetes deserve to enjoy eating carbohydrates. They deserve it.
Why?
Oh, because then I won't have a job if they don't eat carbohydrates. Who's going to read my books? Who's going to take the drugs that is, you know, it's a pharmaceutical company that is sponsoring me? And I said in the meme, and your peanut allergic child deserves to enjoy that peanut butter and jelly sandwich too, right, Hope? Because, in other words, no one would ever say, oh, children who are allergic to peanuts, they deserve to eat peanut butter and jelly. Let's kill them. Let's give it to them and let them die. But that's what you're doing to people who have diabetes by continuing to lie to them and tell them that it's okay for them to eat sugary and starchy carbs. You know what? We wouldn't need health care. We wouldn't need health care insurance if these types of truths were being promoted by physicians. Imagine that. You walk into your physician and say, hey, your blood sugar is getting high. You're on your way to type 2 diabetes. I want you to cut all the potatoes, rice, bread out of your diet. Right? If your doctor told you that, you say, seriously? Yeah, your diabetes will go away. No, instead they go, I'm going to have to give you metformin. So you could keep eating the way you eat. So I'm going to give you this pill. Okay? I mean, think of the absurdity of that. Think of it.
Well, you think that's absurd. There's a new weight loss balloon.
Oh, are you kidding me? Let me guess, you put it up your butt this time.
The headlines are, new weight loss balloon nearly twice as effective as diet and exercise. This is on health.com.
Exercise has pleiotropic beneficial effects, not just about fat loss. You don't exercise to lose body fat. You diet to lose body fat. So saying that it's as beneficial as exercise is like saying, oh, I don't know, scotch tape three times more effective than a, you know, pick something absurd.
Imagine you had a weight loss option that helped more than diet and exercise, but wasn't as invasive as gastric surgery. Enter the Abalon, A-B-A-L-O-N, balloon system. It's a new treatment that involves swallowing balloon-filled capsules to curb overeating. According to new research, it helped obese people shed almost double the weight compared to people who made diet and lifestyle changes alone.
Yeah, because they didn't stick to their diet and lifestyle changes. That's the problem. I had a woman in here the other day I was talking to, and she's telling me I eat right. I can't lose weight. And I said, look, I hope you take this in the spirit that it's meant. I'm sorry to say it, but if you look at people in a prisoner of war camp where they're starving everybody, there's not one guy that seems to stay fat. Oh, my God, look at Joe. He doesn't eat any food. He's 300 pounds. How is, oh, well, he's genetically different than us. No, everybody gets skinny when you starve them. And so if you're not losing weight, you're not sticking to your program, period. End of story. And I get it. Women are unique.
Hormones
play a role. But let's be honest. You take a postmenopausal woman who's not on HRT, and she gets stuck in a cabin, snowed in, has no food for 15 days, 20 days. Is she going to lose weight?
Of course she
is. Okay, that's it. I rest my case. So, you know, this nonsense and this balloon. I just realized something. Do you remember when you were a kid? Did you ever have those capsules that had little dinosaurs?
Sponges that had sponges
inside
them. Yeah,
you drop them in the water.
I used to love those.
People just need to start eating them. That's all. Who knew? You need to eat them. Don't give them to your kids. Swallow a couple of them. They'll make you skinny.
So this system has already been approved by the FDA. It's slated to hit the market in January. And the tiny capsules each contain an inflatable balloon attached to a catheter. People swallow each of the capsules 3 weeks apart, and x-rays are taken to ensure that they are in the right spot.
Yeah, that they don't go down into your small or large intestines, right.
Gas is then pumped through the catheter, filling up the balloon.
Yeah.
The catheter is removed. The patients go home with small balloons in his or her stomach. They stay there for 6 months, filling up the stomach, so people feel full and don't eat as much. And after that, they are removed via minimally invasive endoscopic surgery.
I'm going to make a bet right now. Go ahead.
This, they're saying, is better than diet and exercise.
Oh, yeah, right. For lazy, ignorant people it is, maybe. I'm going to make a prediction. Someone who has these balloons put in.
They could choke on them.
Once they're down in your stomach.
But what if it gets stuck in?
They push it down into your stomach. Okay. That's why it has the catheter on it. Once someone who has these balloons put in is going to overeat anyway, the balloon is going to burst, and it's going to get pushed down into their intestines. You're going to read about this in 6 months, a year, depends on how quick this modality of treatment gets out there. You mark my words, there are going to be bizarre consequences of these balloons in your stomach, because people are going to overeat anyway. We know that people who have lap bands, they overeat, they break the bands. Did you know that? There are people who actually have gotten lap bands and they've overeaten anyway, and the bands have popped off. It's like, oh my God.
I only know a few people who have had lap band surgery, and they're still overweight.
Of course.
Obese. They're still obese.
You know what? I did a meme that bariatric surgery only works when you modify the way you eat, you exercise, and you take supplements. And I said, why not just do that first?
Okay, so at the end of the article here, it says that they stress that the participants have to meet with a dietitian regularly as a part of the program. And she stresses that balloons are meant to work in conjunction with healthy eating and regular exercise.
Yeah, right.
Why not just do that? Well, it's going to take a little bit longer.
Well, don't forget, they said lifestyle changes don't work. But then they're saying, but you got to use this with lifestyle changes. Think about that. They just said lifestyle changes don't work. This works. But you got to use lifestyle changes with this. This is idiocy. It's sad, too. There are a lot of people who are going to do it. We'll be right back.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? crunchy. From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips with 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide. 4.6 million years of evolution gave us the blueprint for the perfect protein supplement for humans. So why do all protein supplement manufacturers ignore it? We don't. The first human-appropriate protein supplement is Thrive Advanced. Built around the blueprint of mother's milk, Thrive Advanced contains the amino acids, peptides, micronutrients, enzymes, probiotics, and vitamins that support protein absorption and assimilation. All of our dairy proteins come from happy cows on pastures here in the United States and are low-heat pasteurized. You'll never find any artificial sweeteners, additives, or ingredients. You won't even find thickeners or gums in Thrive Advanced. And we back up our label claims with post-production lab analysis that's available right on our website. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Thrive Advanced banner ad and use code SHR and save 50% off your entire order today.
What do professional athletes such as Kobe Bryant and A-list celebrities such as Selma Hayek have in common? They are all touting the benefits of bone broth. But unless you have countless hours to cook every week or can hire your own personal chef, you're probably missing out on these critical nutrients. Osteobroth is a high-protein, standardized, consistent bone broth in a convenient powder form. Use promo code SHR for 20% off at osteobroth.com.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improves the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
This is the Superhuman Channel, where we use oxygen for the power of good.
I like the smasher.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard,
and they're like, it's better than yours.
Damn right.
I could teach you, but I have to charge.
So, if you're an extreme athlete, I don't care what you do, mountain climbing, mountain biking, weightlifting, Tabata, CrossFit, you push your body very hard. And more evidence is coming out that the things that are instinctively in Thrive, advanced protein, which also happen to be in mother's milk. It wasn't me. I'm not a genius. I just said, let's look at the perfect human food and let's design a protein powder leveraging what 4.6 million years has shown us is the ideal things for humans to use. Adele Moussa just wrote a blog about how glycine improves protein synthesis by 80% and reduces protein degradation by 30%, meaning that glycine is anabolic. Guess what's in Thrive? Along with other free-form amino acids, we put glycine in there because I know that people need more glycine in the diet.
Well, I read in which I think the author is coming on either next week or the week after, about Alzheimer's disease and probiotics and
yes.
how probiotics helps with Alzheimer's disease prevention.
Right.
And there's probiotics in Thrive.
And the two probiotics that they cited in the study are in Thrive.
Are in Thrive.
Again, because these are found in large amounts in human breast milk. I mean.
And breast cancer. Was it the lacto or the
Lactobacillus acidophilus is shown to
help prevent breast cancer.
Breast cancer in women.
And that's in Thrive.
So it's not like I'm a genius. All I did was say, look, you know what?
You are.
Thank you. All I said was, look, let's stop fooling around with this protein isolate, that. Let's look at what's in human breast milk, and let's make a protein supplement based on that. And that's what Thrive Advances. And right now, you can actually buy one, get two free of Thrive Advanced if you go to Thrive Protein, THRIVProtein.com, and use the code EXTREME, EXTREME. Now, put three in your shopping cart, and at checkout, use that code, and you'll just pay for one and get the other two for free. When I say that Thrive Advance is the single best protein powder in the world, I sincerely mean it, because it is. Everything that we did with Thrive is for a reason, not just because, oh, we can put this in there and be fancy with it. So check it out.
Okay, so I want to talk about palm oil. We've discussed palm oil mm-hmm. before mm-hmm. and the destruction of rainforests and the habitat loss, mm-hmm. like their orangutans.
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to talk about some of the things that we use every day that we may not know mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. palm oil in them. One thing I did not know is that palm oil produces sodium lauryl sulfate.
So when you have a product that has sodium lauryl sulfate in it, basically
has palm oil in
yeah.
it. So the first one on the list is hand soap.
Yep.
And the bubbles that lather, that's from the sodium lauryl sulfate, which is from palm oil.
Right. It makes foam.
Yes. Yeah. So anything that's foamy, like toothpaste and
guess what?
Shampoo.
They put sodium lauryl sulfate in toothpaste. And sodium lauryl sulfate in the mouth has been tied to the development of canker sores in the mouth.
Really?
Yep.
I didn't know that. Well, so just a little toothpaste story here. We talked about toothpaste on a prior Casual Friday, and we talked about the Cornucopia Institute has a new list out that shows you which is the best toothpaste, and then it goes down the list and which, you know, gets better and worse and organic and not organic.
And the best is based on current science about what we know, that which of ingredients found in toothpaste are not good for humans.
Exactly. And the ingredients that you need to avoid are the sodium lauryl sulfate, PEG-8, sodium fluoride, dimethicon, polyethylene glycol, and polyethylene and triclosan.
So guess what polyethylene glycol is?
That's antifreeze.
Yes. So if you've ever been on an airplane and it was very cold and they're spraying the wings with something that looks warm and it's like steaming off of the wings, that's polyethylene glycol.
In your toothpaste.
Yep.
So anyway, so I bought the Dr. Brommer's toothpaste, peppermint flavor, mm-hmm. which is number one on the best to use on the Cornucopia Institute list.
Mm-hmm.
And it's available. I think you can get it at, I know you can get it at Vitacost. You can get it at Whole Foods, places like that. So it's really like brushing your teeth with saliva.
With nothing,
but yeah, a little taste of peppermint.
And what I do is I add some baking soda powder to it to give it a little bit more of a thickness.
Yes, but I wouldn't do that every day because the baking soda tends to be a little bit abrasive on your teeth.
Right.
And it can help to wear away the enamel. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion would be to do that, you know, maybe a couple times a week as opposed to every day.
Mm-hmm.
Because you don't want to use something that's too abrasive because it can also cause gum recession as well.
Do you think activated charcoal is abrasive as well?
Probably so, but activated charcoal is supposed to help with whitening your teeth.
That's what I was going to say. So I have a big jug of activated charcoal at home that I'm looking for reasons to use right now, and I've read that it's great for toothpaste because it actually removes, it attaches itself to things on the teeth and removes them. It's not supposed to be abrasive, but it's supposed to actually be more of a surfactant where it actually protects the surface of the teeth and removes debris from the teeth because it attaches itself to things so easily.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was wondering if I was going to have black stuff in my teeth.
Well, that's what, for me, I've never used charcoal, but for me it's kind of, you know, it's contradictory because it's like, it's black, but it's supposed to help whiten your teeth. And I don't know if it's because it is a bit abrasive, so that can help to whiten your teeth. But with that said, you need to just be careful at how hard you brush because you could cause toothbrush abrasion and enamel to wear away.
Right.
So, and if your enamel's not there, you have extreme sensitivity. Okay. So the second one on the list with toothpaste, because it has sodium, most of them have sodium lauryl sulfate in it, cosmetics. The palm oil acts as a natural emulsifier. It's in mascara, foundation, lipsticks, laundry detergents, and processed foods.
And so, if you're worried about the rainforest, avoid sodium lauryl sulfate. Let companies know that you're avoiding
palm oil, well, too. Body washes and shampoos.
You're already avoiding palm oil in most cases. What I'm saying is,
well, they put palm oil in chocolates.
Are they not the chocolates we buy?
No.
Yeah.
And margarine. And I'm sure nobody
eats margarine. Seriously,
I'm sure nobody in our audience eats margarine.
Who still eats margarine? I mean, except really old people are still stuck on margarine is better for you than butter. But who eats margarine anymore? I mean, that's just silly. Butter is so much healthier for you than margarine.
It's shocking to me that people would still use margarine.
I know.
So anyway,
want to talk about the kids and whole fat milk?
Yes, I do. So a new study just came out that kids who drink whole fat milk are slimmer, have a lower BMI, slimmer than those who drink low fat or skim milk.
So whole fat milk better, low fat and skim worse. The reason people drink low fat and skim milk is, oh, I don't want the fat, I don't want to get fat. Well, kids who have whole milk aren't as fat. So what's wrong with this message that we keep getting? We've talked about this before. Whole fat milk, especially whole fat milk from pastured cows, which is even better, it improves satiety. People aren't as hungry after they drink it because fat slows digestion down. It probably slows the release of the lactose down. You don't get as much of a blood sugar spike. It probably reduces the glycemic index of the milk. This idea that fat is evil, we have to stop this nonsense. This is great information.
So the study, it was published in the American Journal of Clinical Nutrition. They also found that kids who drank whole milk have higher vitamin D levels.
Mm-hmm. But why? This is something that you brought my attention to. Why? They fortify milk.
But it's not D3.
No. It's okay. But just give me a second. Some milk is D3. Some is D2 nowadays. Right?
Okay.
They fortify milk with vitamin D. So why would the kids who are drinking whole fat milk have higher vitamin D levels? Vitamin D is fat soluble. If you don't have fat in your diet.
Oh, yes, if you don't have the fat. Right.
People who take vitamin D on an empty stomach and they go, gee, my 25-hydroxy levels never change. take vitamin D with a fatty
fat.
Meal.
Mm-hmm.
If you,
I take all of my supplements with, like, if I have eggs in the morning with the yolks, fat.
Vitamin A and vitamin D should be taken with a high-fat meal if you want to have the impact of taking those vitamins. Otherwise, just throw them in the garbage. Don't even take them.
Mm-hmm.
So why do kids who drink whole-fat milk have high vitamin D? Because more of the vitamin D is being retained by the body because more of it's getting in. Makes perfect sense. Interesting.
The researchers found that the children who drank whole milk had a body mass index score 0.72 units lower than those who drank 1 or 2% milk, comparable to the difference between having a healthy weight and being overweight.
Yeah.
Well, I'm excited. We're going on Tuesday to pick up our milk from the farmer for the first time this season.
Yeah, yeah, because it's getting cold now. So we're going to get some cream, too.
Hopefully he'll have cream because we like to use the cream during the holidays.
Yeah. We whip it up and make creme fraiche out of it for desserts and stuff. Usually a little bit of cream. I whip it up. We throw some berries in it and a little bit of stevia. And you feel like you're eating an amazing dessert.
Yeah, it's awesome. So hopefully he'll have some cream.
Yeah. We can either take a break now or we can cover another story.
Since we just talked about vitamin D, higher vitamin D levels linked to better cancer survival rates.
Breast cancer especially. But it was true of all cancers, by the way.
We did this show yesterday.
Yeah, it was really good. So I had Dr.
But it's all in the news today.
Yeah.
Because it was just released. Okay.
Yeah. We had Dr. Song Yao, the lead author of the study, on the show. And we talked about this. And so here's the really important part. Women who were diagnosed with breast cancer, who at the time of diagnosis had a higher 25-hydroxy-D status, had a 30% higher survival rate over the course of 7 years. That's significant.
That is significant.
Okay? That's 3 out of 10 people. And so what we talked about was, did they look? This was a really well done study, because here's what they did. These women all had blood tests done at the time of diagnosis. They went back in and looked at the women who were diagnosed and took their blood and sampled it then after the fact. So it was really great that they did this. They looked at a variety of things. They also had diaries from these women, who was taking vitamin D supplements, who was actually out in the sun. And what they found was that vitamin D supplementation was as effective as being out in the sun in conferring this increase in survival. But here's the interesting thing that I kind of pulled out of him yesterday. We're not sure if the increase in vitamin D improved their survivability rate intrinsically or extrinsically. And what I mean by that was, did it make them stronger that the standard of care, the chemotherapy and the ionizing radiation, didn't kill them? Because we know that chemotherapy kills people, right? They don't die of the cancer. So when men and women are given drugs like cisplatin, we know that there are secondary and tertiary diseases that occur after the chemotherapy associated with the chemotherapy, like kidney failure, heart failure. So what they looked at was the overall survivability of these women, and it was improved in the ones with the higher vitamin D status. So it could have been protecting them from the deleterious effects of the chemotherapy, because we know vitamin D on a genetic level reduces inflammation. These drugs increase the inflammation. That's how they work, quite frankly, in killing things. So the bottom line is, better. And guess what? These vitamin D levels were not extremely high. They considered anybody under 20 nanograms as clinically below. They considered anyone from 20 to 30 as the moderate. They considered anybody over 30 as the high. Hell, we keep our vitamin D levels 40, 50. So they're saying, like, you just got to be over 30 to see this.
I think mine was 67 the last time I had it checked in January.
So they're just talking about a moderate increase. I mean, you could take 2,000 IUs a day and get up above 30.
So they're saying here in this article that was on Yahoo Health that there's conflicting information from the medical community regarding the proper daily dosage for vitamin D. In fact, just this week, experts wrote in the New England Journal of Medicine that misunderstandings about the recommended amount of vitamin D have led to misinterpretation of blood tests, and many people think that they need more.
We actually covered this.
Okay.
And I gave him information that I predict is going to inspire his next study because he indicated that. So what I said to him, this is, again, my 30,000-foot view, right?
Right.
Okay. So I said to him, dark-skinned people, light-skinned people produce different levels of vitamin D in the sun. Dark-skinned people produce a lot less. There's a probability that dark-skinned people can get by with less vitamin D than light-skinned people. He agreed with that. Okay? I said, but we don't have to guess anymore on where your individual sweet spot is. I said to him, Dr. Yao may operate optimally with a 25-hydroxy of this, Carl Lenore of that. But we don't have to guess anymore because we know something. The same way looking at blood sugar and not looking at insulin and C-peptide to understand how hard the pancreas is working to keep blood sugar there is idiocy when dealing with blood sugar management. The same way that looking at 25-hydroxy levels without looking at parathyroid hormone.
Interesting.
Okay? So parathyroid hormone produces, the parathyroid produces calcitonin. Calcitonin, its job is remineralization of bone to keep bones from getting thin and keeping the turnover in a positive instead of a negative effect. When vitamin D levels are low, the parathyroid hormone has to be produced to make up for what vitamin D normally does in the bone mineralization scenario.
Mm-hmm.
When you keep raising vitamin D, parathyroid hormone drops. When you get to the sweet spot for an individual person, parathyroid hormone will be at its lowest. So we don't have to guess anymore. If doctors would start looking at D, 25-hydroxy, and parathyroid hormone and dialing the dose up until it doesn't go down anymore, then they back it down a little bit, lowest effective
dialing
dose.
Dialing the dose of what up?
D.
D.
Until parathyroid hormone ceases or is produced at a minimum, at the minimum levels. Now we know that for Elisa Profumo, that's the ideal level of vitamin D. Because remember, oral supplementation, you can raise 25-hydroxy levels to dangerous levels. You can't do that in the sun. Okay? If you stay in the sun for 10 hours a day, 30 days every single week because you live in that climate, the body regulates. It starts to shut down 25-hydroxy. Pre-vitamin D gets wasted by the sun. And you don't, in other words, you can't overproduce vitamin D when you're in the sun, but you can overconsume vitamin D when you're taking an oral supplement. So finding where the body says, that's enough for me, requires looking at parathyroid hormone. I'm sure that the body does that naturally in the negative feedback loop of vitamin D synthesis under the sun. But that is missing when you just take 10, 20, 30, 50,000 IUs in your mouth. And he agreed with me. He said, that's a very interesting idea. That's you know, I predict that in the future, him and his colleagues will look at parathyroid.
And where was Dr. Yao from? I forget what university.
He was from Buffalo. He was from, I can't think of the name of the university, but Buffalo, New York.
So this doctor says here, I thought you might find this interesting, that that most people are not receiving enough of vitamin D, especially those who are health conscious. He says the normal healthy lifestyle we pursue tends to include eating less dairy products, which is a fortified milk source. Other common practices, healthy behaviors, include swapping soy milk for regular milk.
But this is not the problem.
As well as wearing sunscreen.
That's the problem. So here's the real problem with vitamin D levels.
And these things are undermining the effort to increase vitamin D and maintain normal vitamin D levels.
90% of all of our vitamin D historically from an evolutionary perspective has been produced as a result of us being out in the sun. Okay? But you have a message today from the dermatology community that sun causes skin cancer. That's a lie. Okay? If sun caused skin cancer, Every African in sub-Saharan Africa would have skin cancer because they're out in the sun all the time. Okay? So sun doesn't cause skin cancer. What causes skin cancer is a pro-inflammatory lifestyle that cannot compensate for what the sun is doing. Okay? You take the pro-inflammatory lifestyle away, sun doesn't cause cancer. Okay? But more importantly, there's a message from the Dermatology Association out there. Stay out of the sun, cover up, use sunscreen, like the sun is bad. Are they crazy? We evolved. Many of our genetic gifts as humans were conferred onto us from exposure of the sun. Now they say, oh, sun is bad. If sun was bad, you and I wouldn't be doing this show because we would have been off the planet millions of years ago when we lived in the sun all the time. So it's just nonsense. Why are you laughing?
Carl is preaching when we lived in the sun.
Well, because I can't stand it anymore. The level of misinformation driven by complete ignorance of evolution. Every single physician should be required to understand evolution before they even get into medical school, because it's kind of like not knowing anything about cars but wanting to be a mechanic. Oh, just tell me about the carburetor. I just want to focus on the carburetor. But wait, you have to understand why the carburetor is even the carburetor. When doctors ignore evolution, they can't help people any longer. They can't. They can prescribe drugs, sure. That doesn't help people. And so it just frustrates me. It beguiles me. I want to pull my hair out, what little bit I have, when I realize that we are telling people stupid stuff, and then we're wondering why the whole country, the whole planet is sick. So anyway.
Okay, so when we come back from our break, I want to talk a little bit about glyphosate.
All right, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Legendary name in hardcore supplementation. Iron Mag Labs. 100% original, patent pending Andro compounds. The most effective, hardcore, groundbreaking bodybuilding supplements in the world. In the world. Iron Mag Labs. Revolutionizing hardcore supplementation for more than a decade. Visit IronMagLabs.com. IronMagLabs.com.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants. Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
AnabolicMinds.com is the premier website for credible information on building muscle, burning fat, supplementation, and more. With over 100,000 active registered members and over 2.5 million posts, it's one of the largest communities on the internet to get help and answers to your question. It's also the place that the official Superhuman Radio Forum is hosted. Visit AnabolicMinds.com today and get into the action. AnabolicMinds.com. Learn. Teach. Lead.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high-protein, low-carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert. But this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com. And click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Now, the number one best-selling non-hormonal anabolic agent at PredatorNutrition.com. Progenidrex has established itself as the category killer. If you're having difficulty gaining muscle while staying lean, you owe it to yourself to try Progenidrex. 100% of store reviews rated it at 5 stars, the highest possible ranking. And today, right now, there are guys pouring their hearts out in the gym with little or nothing to show for it. Don't waste any more time. Go to PredatorNutrition.com today and get Progenidrex, the world's world's absolute best drug-free muscle gainer.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
It's so much more fun doing this show with somebody in the studio with me.
Oh, is it really? Yeah. How come?
Well, some of it has to do with the fact that you're cute. But other than that, it's just nice to have a banter going back and forth. You know what I mean?
Well, I would, yeah.
I jokingly refer to the studio as room.
As room.
I come in here, I don't know what the weather's like outside. I don't know what's going on outside.
There's no windows and all the walls are covered in foam. It's room. Okay, so some of you may have seen the Huffington Post article about tests show Monsanto weed killer in Cheerios and other popular foods.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Food Democracy Now actually arranged for testing, which was done at a San Francisco-based Inesco lab. They use liquid
chromatography.
Chromatography, yeah. Tandem mass spectrometry,
right?
It's widely considered by the scientific community and regulated, yes, yeah, as a gold standard. Yeah. So they released their reports on Monday, and they found glyphosate in so many foods.
Did they say parts per millionth or billion?
So glyphosate residues were found in General Mills Cheerios at 1,125.3 parts per billion.
So Anthony Samsel came on my show and said one part per billionth of glyphosate is equivalent to 11,000 molecules of glyphosate. I just had
to make sure I was reading this right. Yeah. 1,125.3 parts per billion.
I mean, that's ridiculously high. I think that's probably much higher than what the FDA allows to be on food.
Well,
I
have that there if you want to take a look at the allowable tolerances. Kashi soft bake oatmeal dark chocolate cookies at 275.57 parts per billion. Ritz crackers, 270.24 parts per billion.
So if you wanted to go from parts per billion to parts per million, you'd have to move the decimal to the left 3, right? So the 1,000, let's just use 1,000, right?
Okay.
1,000 parts per billion would actually be 10 parts per million. And the allowable amount of glyphosate, I'm just going to pick a food. For avocado is 0.2 parts per million. So that's 11. Okay. I'm just trying to find here for sugar, it's 10 parts per million. So that's equivalent to sugar. It's probably coming from the sugar that they put in the, you know, come to, you know, I've said this before. Go ahead. I want to talk more about this. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, like, for example, this was one of my first thoughts. You see so many children, like if I'm in a store, grocery store, for example, and a child is in a stroller and the mom's pushing the child, or they always eat Cheerios. They always feed their children Cheerios.
Oh, yeah. And my dad, they have commercials. My dad eats Cheerios now to lower his cholesterol so he can be there to walk me down the aisle when I get married. And it's a little girl. She's like 11 years old. And the dad's eating Cheerios. She's giving him the Cheerios because she wants his cholesterol to be lowered. But meanwhile, the Cheerios are poison. Now, it's important to understand something.
And also, Special K cereal. I know a lot of women who eat Special K cereal because they think it has protein in it and is helping with their protein intake.
Right.
If you eat cereal.
I suspect that the glyphosate is actually coming from the sugar. And I've said this for a long time. they spray glyphosate on the sugarcane fields the day before, the 2 days before they're going to harvest, and then they set the fields on fire the day before, and then once all the leaves are burned, they go in and they hack down the sugarcane. So they actually put glyphosate on the sugarcane fields days before harvesting it. So I predict that there's a lot of residual glyphosate in sugar, number one.
Well, okay, so I just looked at the nutritional information of Cheerios, and there's 1.2 grams of sugar per cup.
But that's okay. 1 gram of sugar, that's 1,000 milligram, right? That's 100,000 micrograms. You're talking about parts per billion. There could easily be 1,000 parts per billion in that 1 gram, easily, of glyphosate. And remember, one part per billionth of glyphosate is equal to 11,000 molecules of glyphosate. So that's a lot of glyphosate.
So, but the Honey Nut Cheerios had less glyphosate in them than the regular
Maybe
Cheerios.
They're using honey and offsetting some of the sugar that they incorporate into it, right?
So let me just go down the list a little bit. Wheaties had 31.2 parts per billion. Trix had 9.9. Annie's gluten-free bunny cookies, cocoa, and vanilla cereal had 55.13. But what's shocking to me is on this list of things that they tested, there was a Whole Foods organic golden round crackers that had 119.12 parts per billion.
And it was organic.
And it was organic.
Yeah. And see, this is the problem. So a couple things, right? First thought. Glyphosate's danger is that it is a synthetic form of glycine that's easily incorporated into body tissue. In fact, it's preferentially incorporated over glycine into tissue. And the body cannot get rid of it, so it causes a phenomenon called amyloidosis. There is now growing amyloidosis of the heart that's causing heart failure because this tissue is fibrotic. We know, we talk about amyloid plaque in the brain. We just talked about that. So the real threat of glyphosate is it's a synthetic form of glycine that the body is not accustomed to dealing with or getting rid of. The normal mechanisms for breaking down amino acids and proteins cannot get rid of glycine. So it accumulates in the body over time. And I predict that in the years to come, we're going to find out there's amyloidosis of the liver, amyloidosis of the kidneys, amyloidosis of every single type of tissue in the body. It's going to come from glyphosate, number one. Number two, more importantly, Monsanto has poisoned the planet with glyphosate. They said, oh, it has a very short half-life. It doesn't survive in soil. It's not going to last long. But meanwhile, it's showing up in breast milk, tampons, Cheerios. It's in every frigging thing today. So when the FDA in their divine wisdom goes, well, that's only two parts per million. That's acceptable. Yeah, in this. But when you add up all the things you're coming in contact in the day, you're getting 3 milligrams of glyphosate a day, day in and day out, week in and week out, month in and month out. And you're wondering why people are developing all these absurd disorders today.
So the groups such as Food Democracy Now have criticized the U.S. regulators for setting an acceptable daily intake for glyphosate at a much higher level than other countries. The U.S. has set the ADI for glyphosate at 1.75 milligrams per kilogram of body weight per day.
Mm-hmm. That's 100 milligrams for me a day.
While the European Union has set it at 0.3.
Yeah, that's significantly lower.
Significantly?
Yeah, that's 66% lower.
The EPA is supposed to set an ADI from all food and water sources that is at least 100 times lower than levels that have been demonstrated to cause no effect in animal testing.
But now let me give you another shocker. Guess what the acceptable glyphosate is for things, anything that's fed to animals?
What?
400 parts per million. That's like 1, 2, 3. That's 400,000 parts per billion. Get that? 400,000 parts per billion. So, the beginning of the show, we talked about how our farmer fed pumpkin and the turkey meat turned orange. And we talked about how Tyson feeds marigold leaves to their chickens. And that's why their chicken breasts have that golden color as opposed to, Purdue feeds marigold leaves to their chickens. That's why their chicken breasts have that beautiful golden color instead of that washed out white color that Tyson does. So we know that what you feed animals gets into their flesh, and we eat their flesh and we get it again. So if they're allowed to give animals up to 400 parts per million, which is equivalent to 400,000 parts per billion, glyphosate, then we're eating beef that has glyphosate in it. We're eating chicken that has glyphosate. We're eating eggs that has glyphosate in it. We're eating fish that has glyphosate, because farmed fish, they feed soy pellets and corn. We're eating everything that has glyphosate in it. We don't know this experiment that they're foisting on the American public, and they're doing it because Monsanto's an American company, but soon they're going to be a German company if Bayer's purchase goes through. They're doing this preferentially because politicians are corrupt. Monsanto has gotten to them. We are an experiment. We don't even know what all this glyphosate's going to do to us someday. We're going to find out. We're all going to be dead. The future generation that looks back at how barbaric and idiot, stupid we were is going to go, wow, can you believe they destroyed the planet with glyphosate? They almost brought human life to a halt.
And then, you know, so many people have gut issues now. And glyphosate is an antibiotic.
Antibiotic, antimicrobial. We know that it disrupts, it causes dysbiosis of the gut. And here's the other thing that we know. So E. coli, salmonella, on spinach and broccoli and all that sort of stuff, it's actually becoming more resistant to the traditional ways that they control those pathogens in agriculture, because the glyphosate, through hormetic effect, is making these pathogens stronger. So when they bring it in and they process it the way they normally do, the E. coli and the salmonella is not dying, and then you're eating it, and then they have a recall of 16 states because the spinach killed 6 people. Glyphosate is causing huge problems. Mike's problem is, we can't even clean. If tomorrow morning the government woke up and said, we're going to do the right thing, put Monsanto out of business, took all their money and said, we're going to use their money to straighten this mess out, they couldn't do it. Because we have that much glyphosate in the environment today that it will be decades before the effects of it are gone.
Maybe we need to move to the European Union.
I don't know. I don't know if that's the answer either. I don't know what the answer is. All I'm saying is that if I am scaring you about glyphosate, good. You need to be aware that we need to be vocal about the fact that Monsanto is single-handedly destroying the planet with this crap. So,
goldfish crackers had glyphosate in them, and that's another thing that they feed kids.
Aren't you glad you don't eat them anymore?
I was younger, I used to love goldfish.
Everybody did.
So anyway, I don't know. It's scary because now you wonder if, even if you buy organic, if it's going to be.
That's terrible. That's terrible.
Okay.
Want to take a break?
Sure.
Okay, stay tuned. We'll be right back.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing.
Wow, that's an old commercial. The truth is, I've been using CanSee eye drops for 11 years now, and I credit CanSee eye drops as being the reason that I do not need reading glasses at 58 years old. CanSee eye drops improve the quality and health of your eyes indefinitely. That's why I both use and endorse CanSee eye drops. Go to wisechoicemedicine.com and learn about how CanSee eye drops can improve the health of your eyes and the quality of your vision today.
Eat dessert again with the new 100% natural line of high protein, low carb Quest protein bars. I love lemon cream pie and strawberry cheesecake, but you can choose from chocolate peanut butter, coconut cashew, or cinnamon roll as well. No matter which one you try, you'll feel like you're eating dessert, but this is no ordinary dessert. With 20 grams of high-quality whey protein isolate, 17 grams of prebiotic fiber, and sweetened with stevia, these bars will make you feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to learn more about these clean and delicious protein bars.
Mitochondrial uncoupling is the holy grail of fat loss. Making mitochondria work harder raises body temperature and metabolic rate without the jitters of stimulants.
Now there is an over-the-counter mitochondrial uncoupler that will let you shred your body down to the last pounds of body fat. It's Trojan Horse. This is the supplement breakthrough of the decade. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Trojan Horse banner ad. Use coupon code SHR and save 20% off your order today. BlackstoneLabs.com. Trojan Horse.
The category killer just got upgraded in a big way. New Mass Pro Synthogen X2 is here. Take it before and after training and recover faster than with anabolic steroids. Visit Synthogen.com and use coupon code SHR15 for 15% off. Mass Pro Synthogen. When you train with it, you'll gain with it.
Ever feel like you want something crunchy? From the company that gave us the Quest Protein Bar, now comes the Quest High Protein Potato Chips. With 21 grams of high quality protein and only 5 grams of carbs and no artificial ingredients. Just like Quest bars, you'll feel like you're cheating, but you're not. Go to superhumanradio.com and click the Quest High Protein Potato Chip banner ad today and get ready to be satisfied. Thanks to Quest Nutrition, chips just aren't what they used to be.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Do you know how to properly use carbohydrates to ignite your performance in the field and in the gym? You will now, thanks to this free book by EFX Sports. The Carb User's Guide for Maximum Performance reveals why omitting carbohydrates from your diet can totally crush your gains. Ever wonder how many grams you need for your specific sport? Not anymore. We give you the critical number you need to dominate your competition. You'll even discover the super carb that's taking the athletic world by storm. You must try it to believe it. Go to getcarbolin.com/carb guide today and get your copy absolutely free. Once again, it's getcarbolin.com/carbguide.
This is the Superhuman Channel, doing reps with the weight of the world.
Another good mashup. Pat Benatar. She was so little and so cute, wasn't she?
My Uncle John used to love her.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I think a lot of guys did. Because she looked a little, like, tough, you know? She had that punky haircut. She had that, she kind of looked like she just wasn't satisfied with life, you know? I think she had an interesting look. All right, welcome back.
So I thought that since we've been talking about some gloom and doom things, we might talk about something happy.
No, I may disappear if we get happy.
Happiness.
You know, like when they threw water on the witch, the wicked witch, and she melted. I'm melting. Happiness makes me melt.
So that sparkly rainbow filter that you see the world through when you're happy, mm-hmm. it's just not your imagination. Research has now shown that happiness is more than just an emotion. It actually affects how you process information, your ability to focus, and your overall perceptions. And this was just recently posted in Psychology Today.
Interesting.
It looks at findings from over 1,000 studies on mood and attention and found that happiness causes you to take a broader array of stimuli and could lead you to be more imaginative and less analytical. It tends to give you mental flexibility, the mental flexibility of looking outward and inward for inspiration depending on the issue you're facing.
Mm-hmm.
Notice how when you're not so happy, you tend to close off from the world and just think about bad thoughts?
Yeah, yeah.
According to neuroscience research, being in a positive mindset allows your brain to choose from which parts of the cortex to use when facing a dilemma. Some parts are focused on internal thoughts and other parts are focused on external stimuli. A positive mood allows your brain to pick the parts of the cortex that are most up to the challenge of solving the problem.
Wow. That makes perfect sense. Same thing with stress.
I agree.
When you're under a lot of stress, you can't make good decisions.
Well, and it's the same way, you know, when you surround yourself with positive people instead of negative people.
Instead of Nancy.
Negative Nancy.
Sometimes when I'm being a little negative, Elisa will go to me, oh, you're a negative Nancy. Yeah.
Behold the power of happiness. Even if you're facing tough times, try to focus on the positive. Carl is over there smiling.
I'm Pollyanna.
It'll help you tap into your innate ability to kick butt.
Oh, yeah. And we know we all need to kick more butt. So. That's interesting.
Okay. So coconut oil.
That makes me happy.
Coconut oil. I like coconut. Coconut oil does make me happy.
I like to rub it on my body. I like to eat it. I like to cook with it. I like to put it in my hair, too.
So there's a doctor, Walter Willett, from the chairman of the Department of Nutrition at Harvard T.H. Chan School of Public Health, who admits he's confused by the notion that coconut oil is a health food.
Yeah, of course he's confused by it. The same way, I mean, this is exactly what we were just talking about a second ago with, you know, the medical orthodoxy and what was her name? Hope, you know, with the Department of American Dietetic Association, Diabetic Association. They're just locked in. They just can't. Look, how do they go, oops, we were wrong. Then all the science that we've been promoting has been wrong.
He said that coconut oil is 92% saturated fat. Yes, that's the kind of fat the USDA and American Heart Association say to limit because it can raise your levels of LDL and therefore up your risk of heart disease and stroke.
Okay, so here's what Willett is missing, right? Heart disease requires inflammation. Starchy and sugary carbs are pro-inflammatory. Fat is not a pro-inflammatory. Some saturated fats are, I'll say that. But the reality is that the component of heart disease is not from cholesterol. It's not. There's enough research out there now to make people go, maybe we were wrong about cholesterol's role in heart disease.
He says that
it's corollary. It's not causative.
Some people have argued that coconut oil acts differently in the body than other types of saturated fat. But there are, with a review of 21 studies published earlier this year in Nutrition Reviews, refuted that claim as inaccurate.
And I agree with them. The coconut oil doesn't act any different than any other saturated fat. Here's the difference. When you have high intake of saturated fat, or any fat for that matter, and you have a lot of high glycemic index carbohydrates that are spiking insulin, this is where fat becomes dangerous. When you see people who are on a ketogenic diet, where they are literally eating 80% of their diet from high saturated fats, okay, they don't have problems with cholesterol. Their cholesterol doesn't go. You would assume that someone on a ketogenic diet, as a rule, automatically have high LDL, right? But they don't. And you'd think science would go, maybe we've gotten it wrong about fat. Maybe we need to look. You know, there are other.
Well, some scientists and doctors have said that.
But he's with the Harvard
School of Public Health.
I mean, they're writing position papers constantly. Every single day they're putting stuff out there that people are making decisions based on. Shame on them. What they need to be saying is high saturated fat intake of any type is not a problem until you add high glycemic index carbohydrates and insulin. Now you have a problem. You have a hyperoxidation of the fat. The fat undergoes changes that makes it not good for you. But no, they're just going to throw saturated fat under the bus.
Well, now he is quoting a new study published in the Journal of American College of Cardiology has suggested that HDL might not be as heart healthy as experts have thought.
Well, it probably never was. This notion that HDL is the good cholesterol and LDL is the bad, it's all good cholesterol. All of it. The LDL and the HDL, they have jobs to do. They bring things out. They bring things back to the liver. They're like messengers, cholesterol.
Researchers have found that high HDL did not protect against heart attacks or stroke.
Of course not. Not when you're, let me guess. It was a population study. Was this a population study?
It didn't. It just said a new study. It didn't. Does it?
Hold on.
On this one, was it a population study?
A large new study of the people in the general population. So if you had a population are people with blue eyes, right? How can you talk about people with brown eyes? The reason I say that is when you look at a population study and you realize, you and I realize the population is sick, right?
Yes. Not the superhuman population.
No, but the population that they're looking at, this is a sick population. Anything that's extrapolated from there has to be, the gravity has to be taken with a grain of salt, because we have to say this is true of this current sick population, this obese, diabetic, dyslipidemic, hyperinflamed population. So this doesn't say anything other than in this sick population, HDL doesn't help. Of course not. HDL isn't magic. It's not going to make up for a crappy lifestyle, lack of proper sleep, lack of exercise, you know, a high glycemic index diet, near insulin resistance. It's not going to make up for that. Never will. Oh, but that doesn't mean that HDL isn't good. It just means it's not good in this population here. Now, you look at the two Hawaii studies that were done on all-cause mortality in individuals between the ages of 60 and death. And they came away and said people with the highest cholesterol levels lived the longest, had the most robust health. So what do you say? They have different lifestyles, these people.
So his bottom line is coconut oil has some unique flavors, so it's reasonable to use it in special recipe when it's called for. But since it raises your bad cholesterol levels more than liquid plant oils do, you're better off cooking with canola, soybean.
Oh, my God. Shill.
Soybean.
Shill. I wish I had a shill alarm right now.
And olive oils.
Olive oil, I get it.
Well, yeah, olive oil I get, but canola and soybean.
Pro-inflammatory oils. Shame on this guy. Shame, shame, shame on him. Shame on him. See? This is what I'm talking about.
Misinformation.
I mean, it's just... We look.
Oh, Carl is rubbing his head.
Dr. Paul Dudley White, the man who founded the American Heart Association, he was also Franklin Delano Roosevelt's personal physician, wrote a position paper in the 30s after observing what Crisco did in the face of a high sugar diet. Sugar was on the increase. Crisco was on the increase from the late 1800s to the early 1900s. Crisco was introduced in 1910, the first hydrogenated oil. People were having heart attacks left and right. Prior to that, there were no cardiac ischemic events. Very rare. It was rare to hear about a person had a heart attack. They had them, but it was rare. Now, all of a sudden, everybody's having heart attacks. And he wrote a position paper. He said, abandon vegetable oils. Abandon hydrogenated oils. Abandon the high sugar diet. Go back to beef tallow. Go back to lard. Abandon these newfangled oils. They're killing our people. No one paid attention. He was talking about hydrogenated oil back in 1930. Fast forward to a few years ago. Oh, trans fats are bad for you. We need to get them. How many lives were shortened? How many lives? All these doctors were telling people, eat margarine. Don't eat butter. Butter's bad for you. How many lives were shortened by this bad information? This is a sin. It's a sin to do this to people. You know, I don't care what religion you believe in. If there's an afterlife, if there's a heaven, we have this one life. We want to get it right. Give us good information to make good decisions on. And if anything, the medical orthodoxy has completely failed at that mission. Completely. If anything, they've told us everything wrong. In fact, what we should do is whatever they tell us, do the opposite. We'll be healthier. There you go. That's
Carl's words of wisdom.
There's my
Just
new plan.
Do the opposite.
Just do the opposite. We'll be healthier.
Okay, so.
We have anything else?
No. I just want to wish everybody a happy Thanksgiving.
Yeah, it is a good holiday.
It is. It's one of my favorites.
I like it. We actually bring dinner to different people who can't get out, and we entertain a lot for Thanksgiving. I'm looking forward to it.
I am, too. We're taking dinner to my stepfather. He's, what, 80-something now? And That'll be fun. Yeah. He enjoys that.
So he was a farmer his whole life and a fireman. He was a fireman professionally, but he always had a farm.
Yes.
So one day we got into the discussion about glyphosate. Remember that?
Yes.
And he said to me, I called the USDA and I asked them if glyphosate was safe, and they said yes. That was it. That was the end of the story. They said it was safe.
So that means he should do the opposite.
Well, not, that's our world, right?
Yeah.
I didn't say anything because I'm not interested in challenging him. But the reality is that That's how that generation worked. My doctor told me to take it. The USDA said it's okay. The FDA said it's approved. I'm going to do it. No one questioned any authorities back then. Now, question all authorities. Use critical thinking. If what they tell you is contrary to what you know to be true, abandon what they tell you and do what you know to be true. Critical thinking will save the human race. But following the edicts of authorities is not going to help us, because look where it's gotten us so far. And that's it. My Thanksgiving wish to you is that you and your family do not have to deal with diseases. And that's the mission of this show. That's it.
Yes. We are on the air on Monday and Tuesday next week.
Yeah. And Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday we're off. So, but we'll see you next week. Thank you so much for listening today.
Bye.